This is Marketplace. I'm Molly Wood. There is, I have to acknowledge, a lot to feel down about right now. Racial injustice. Protests reignited this week after no police officers were directly charged in the killing of Breonna Taylor in Kentucky. The pandemic and all its effects, and of course, fires and hurricanes across the country. And these things, as it turns out, are all related. Race, the economy, climate change, public health. And a new book co-edited by Ayanna Elizabeth Johnson and Catherine Wilkinson connects those dots with a focus on climate change and on doing the work to fix it. It's called All We Can Save, Truth, Courage, and Solutions for the Climate Crisis. And it includes essays, poems, and art by more than 40 women leading the climate movement. Ayanna and Catherine, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having us. So great to be here.
This is not the type of climate change book you expect. It's storytelling. It's beautiful.
Surprise.
And right, exactly. And when did we find ourselves at a point where we stopped talking about climate as the thing we live, you know, the air we breathe, the rain that falls or doesn't fall? Ayanna, I'll start with you. Do you think it's important to recenter the conversation as a human problem?
Yeah, and even more so, a problem caused by a very small group of humans who made some horrible decisions on behalf of the rest of us, right? Like, one of the problems with the environmental movement is that it has allowed the fossil fuel industry to spread the blame across all of us. You know, BP created this concept of a carbon footprint that we're now all obsessed with instead of thinking about how we can focus on systems change, how we can transform our energy and transportation and buildings and agriculture and land use and manufacturing. That's the work that needs to be done, not just all of us, you know, not emitting anything, because that doesn't work. I mean, we've seen during the pandemic that even at the beginning, when people were all basically staying home, that emissions only went down 7 or 8%. So the whole individual responsibility thing is not going to get us there. And so this book puts forward a more collective vision.
We are a business and economic show, and we can't, of course, leave out how our economic system, Ayanna, you just touched on this a little bit, it's corporate emissions. How much of this storytelling is also about making the simple economic argument that saving people also saves money?
It's not a major theme in the book. Catherine, did you want to talk about our one main finance essay from Regine?
Sure. Yeah. So we were really excited to collaborate with Regine Clement, who runs Creo. And she's grappling with the question, how do we use the current economic system? How do we use extractive capitalism to transform extractive capitalism? So I think that the tricky thing to me is that the rules of the game have to fundamentally change. We can't just play the game better. I don't think that will get us to the kinds of radical emission cuts that need to happen this decade and then beyond. But there's clearly a really strong economic case for climate solutions.
And then, of course, the book is full of women, and a lot of them are women of color. And I feel like
it's our
this
binder
conversation,
full of climate women.
It's your binder full of climate women. I feel like this conversation about racial justice, climate justice, social justice, the importance of involving women in these conversations, how many women are leading solutions all over the world, is still kind of new and still kind of nascent.
Which is so lame, but you're right.
Which is pretty lame, but maybe take some explaining, you know? Like, what is this relationship between racial justice and climate change, and why don't people understand that?
I think we don't understand it because we don't want to, because it complicates something that is already really hard, right? Like, that's the pushback that I hear most often. It's not like, I'm a racist and I want to save the planet. It's more like, solving climate change is hard enough without bringing in all these other layers. Can we just please focus on climate change now first, and we'll deal with, like, police not murdering black people for no reason later? And the answer is no. Mm-hmm. No, we can't. We have to walk and chew gum on this one. And there are many reasons for that. One is just it's the right thing to do. And so I hate having to give other reasons. But one of those other reasons is, you know, we know from polling by Yale and George Mason universities that people of color actually are more concerned about the climate crisis. But how, you know, how can we expect Black people to be focused on climate solutions when making sure they have the basic right to live and breathe? And so this "I can't breathe" has become a rallying cry across, you know, across the racial and climate justice groups, that it's not just in relation to police brutality, but in the ways that communities of color are burdened with more polluted air and where, you know, where power plants decide to locate themselves. And then, you know, people who are breathing that dirty air being more at risk for extreme forms of COVID. And so, of course, these things are all connected. And wouldn't it be great if we were building the winning team by including the people who were already on board and wanted to help?
Mm-hmm. And I just want to add that when we think about climate change as quote unquote the problem, I think that's where we start to miss these intersections and entanglements. When we understand actually that climate change is a manifestation of the problem, right? It's emerging out of a system that we're getting so much feedback that it's not working. Racial violence is part of that feedback. Massive wealth inequality is part of that feedback. The epidemics of loneliness and meaninglessness are part of that feedback. But if we're just thinking about climate change as the problem we need to solve, then our analysis isn't deep enough about what's actually going on here and thus what it's actually going to take to solve it.
Ayanna Elizabeth Johnson and Catherine Wilkinson are co-editors of the new book, All We Can Save: Truth, Courage, and Solutions for the Climate Crisis. Thanks so much, you two.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
In addition to their role as editors, Ayanna Elizabeth Johnson is the founder and CEO of Ocean Collective. Catherine Wilkinson is the editor-in-chief of Project Drawdown. They have also started a nonprofit called the All We Can Save Project. There's a link at marketplace.org.